Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. It's a Friday. We made it again. News, right after this. As I looked over today's news that I'm about to share, oh my goodness. All authority has been given to me, said God. I'm excited about that. God is the ultimate authority, and although this is a bold and often debated statement, it's no less true. The creator of the universe rules all things in heaven and on earth, and nothing happens apart from the will of God. And it's also true that he keeps things in order. God has delegated some of his authority to key people and organizations like the government and the home and the workplace and the church. Yet despite these clear designations regarding the chain of command, believers sometimes rebel against God's authority. Why do they do this? Oh, it's a thing called doubt, and of course pride gets in there, and bitterness. If you haven't had your quiet time today, how about examining your life? How do you respond to those with jurisdiction over you? Are you harboring resentment against those whom God has given authority? God is in control always. Some say it's a real Black Friday, in Washington. President Donald Trump's demand for a border wall and the funding there hurled the federal government closer to a shutdown today, as House Republicans approved a package on Thursday with his $5.7 billion request that is almost certain to be rejected by the Senate. The White House said Trump will not travel to Florida today for the Christmas holiday if the government is shutting down. More than 800,000 federal workers will be facing furloughs or forced to work without pay if a resolution is not reached before the funding expiration date. Hey, that's tonight, midnight. The shutdown crisis could be one of the final acts of the House GOP majority before relinquishing control to the Democrats in January. Congress had been on track to fund the government, but lurched Thursday when Trump, after a rare lashing from conservative supporters, declared he wouldn't sign a bill without the funding. Conservatives want to keep fighting. They warn that caving in on Trump's repeated wall promises could hurt his 2020 re-election chances and other Republicans as well. Politics in Washington. And all kinds of emotions flying around Washington today. President Trump has announced Defense Secretary James Mattis going to be retiring in February. Boy, and that shock announcement added to a list of the president's outgoing cabinet members after his second year in office. Mattis going to step down with the distinction after serving in his role for 2 years, the president said on Twitter. In his resignation letter to the president, Mattis wrote, "Because you have the right to have a Secretary of Defense whose views are better aligned with yours on these and other subjects, I believe it is right for me to step down from my position." This sparked reports that concern over Trump's plans to withdraw U.S. troops from Syria and Afghanistan directly led to Mattis's resignation. A senior U.S. defense official told Fox News that Mattis was not pushed out of his role, and this was not a forced resignation. They say Mattis came to the White House with his resignation letter in hand. Two early candidates being considered, General Jack Keane and U.S. Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas. So what do you think about Mattis? This country loves military leaders like him who speak their minds without any concern for how it's going to make the sensitive type feel in America. In more than 40 years as a Marine, his job was defending our nation and killing our enemies. He was brilliant, extraordinarily effective doing what he did. One of his more memorable quotes showcases his attitude and his persona just perfectly. Be polite, be professional, but have a plan to kill everybody you meet. Mattis fought bravely in the Persian Gulf War, in Afghanistan, and in the Iraq War. Plenty of bad people got what they deserved when he put his plans into action. But you know, a real key to all of this, regardless, is whoever serves as the President of the United States has to be in line. They have to walk in concert. I don't care how great you are on either side. It doesn't work if there's a conflict. So, yep, this is the right thing to do. I guess we'll see what the future is going to be there, won't we? Hey, and then there's this. President Trump is seriously considering a significant drawdown of U.S. troops stationed in Afghanistan, too. The potential maneuver would involve more than 3,000 U.S. troops getting pulled out. There are 15,000 currently on the ground. The development was first reported by the Wall Street Journal, which added that the withdrawal could take place in just the coming weeks. A separate official said that the morale in the meetings at the Pentagon has never been worse than in recent days. Well, military wants to fight, wants to war, wants to... You kind of get the idea there. Stories coming out today from U.S. Senator Susan Collins. I'm not sure you knew this. She's a Republican senator from Maine, and she revealed that the abuse that she and her staff suffered over the vote of the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation of the Supreme Court was unlike anything she had ever seen in all of her years as she served in the U.S. Senate. There were protests at my home for 6 weeks in a row. At my home in Washington, death threats, threats of sexual assault against me and my entire staff. She said, "What I'll never understand is why anyone would think that I would be intimidated by those tactics and that they would be successful in converting me or causing me to vote against Judge Kavanaugh. That's a crazy new America. You don't know what's going on from one day to the next, now do we?" I always say at this point, I'm glad I'm saved and that Almighty God is in charge because, well, he's the author of confusion. Satan, he's the one. Yeah, just follow the Lord. You won't understand most of this, but you know that God is in control. Hey, an advisory panel on Tuesday, the Surgeon General there, Jerome Adams, and said that parents and teachers and health professionals and government officials must take aggressive steps to keep children from using e-cigarettes, that vaping crisis. Federal officials are scrambling to reverse a recent explosion in teen vaping that public health officials, well, they fear that it could undermine decades of declines in tobacco use. An estimated 3.6 million U.S. teens are using e-cigarettes. And they say regardless of what they're selling out there, it is not good. It's an epidemic. Studying the long-term health effects of e-cigarettes is clearly one important step that we better be taking. Treatment options for those with so-called nicotine use disorder are limited, and they need to be expanded. Oh, and then there's this. It's now or never. Where's Elvis when we need him? Tomorrow, guess what it's called? Panic Saturday. Now, why do you... Oh, you figured that up. More people are going to be out shopping tomorrow on Panic Saturday than Black Friday. Why? All that last-minute gift, all the big savings you might get on some things, all for Christmas and celebrating the birth of Jesus. I'm going to buy myself and you a present. Panic Saturday tomorrow. More news right after this. So some people say, hey, it's really hard to praise God during the tough times. That's when you need to do it. So much in the news, I got to tell you, I do not understand. So what are the benefits then of praising God during times of trouble, trying times? You know, it focuses our attention upon God, and that's where it should be. Causes us to recognize God's sovereignty in all things. Causes us to recall the mighty acts of Almighty God. Paves the way for God to release his awesome power into our lives. Today it could happen. Enlarges our vision of God. Magnifies the presence of God in our lives. Increases our faith in God. Oh, yeah. Precedes knowing the will of God. And exalts the name of God. And unites the people of God. Doesn't that sound good? Fills our hearts with joy of the Lord. Yeah, the benefits of praising Almighty God in troubling times. You know, when the circumstances in our lives seem insurmountable, we have a choice to make. We can either dive into the depths of despair, oh, woe is me, or look up and rejoice in Almighty God. We can blame others and become angry at God and those people, or we can cry out to the one who's capable of turning our sorrow into joy. Do you need a reason to rejoice today? Praise God. Not only for what he is planning for your future, but also for what you can learn from your present situation. A Chinese chemistry student at a U.S. university tried to poison his African-American roommate over a period of several months. According to prosecutors, UK Yang was charged with attempted homicide, arrested yesterday. Prosecutors say he laced the food and drink of Juwan Roll with thallium. Mr. Boyle still suffers symptoms of all of that. Mr. Yang admits buying chemicals, but says they were intended for his own use. He's also charged with writing racist graffiti in the dorm room. This all happened at Lehigh University in Pennsylvania. The death of a driver whose vehicle crashed along Interstate 70 in Missouri last week is being investigated as a homicide now. Because the 40-year-old mom of two died from gunshot wounds from outside the vehicle, the two children of Melissa Pesky, ages 5 and 11, survived. Wouldn't that be something? Pesky's husband, Ryan, a member of the South Dakota National Guard who recently returned from deployment in Afghanistan, told a reporter that he was a person of interest in connection with the case because he didn't answer the phone when authorities called him to tell him his wife was dead. The husband said that he was asleep at home while his wife and children were traveling to North Carolina to visit friends. Did you happen to see the special for Christmas from the Mormon Tabernacle Choir? Those people, wow, they know how to do it. In that 3,500-seat temple, auditorium, whatever you call it. I mean, the choreography, the singing, unbelievable from this cult. Well, anyway, women now. Mormon women working as missionaries have been granted permission to wear slacks. Is that big news in 2018? The rule has been put into immediate effect by the leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to protect women in regions where insects spread dangerous diseases during wet season. However, the slacks can be worn throughout the year by women in all of the institution's 407 missions. Oh, the world is changing. The Mormon Church. Come on, I find this one hard to believe. A third of natural-born Americans, 33%, are thinking about packing their bags and moving out of America. You're kidding. Where does this story come from? From Kent, England. People want to live elsewhere outside the United States, but it may not be for the reason you think, according to a new study. Researchers from the University of Kent there in the United Kingdom and Tufts University in the U.S. say that the most popular reason, almost 90%, want to give life a shot in another country is the simple desire to just explore the world. Surprisingly, whether a person identifies as a liberal or a conservative politically, had no correlation to their thoughts of moving overseas. While one might think that ideological orientation plays a major role, at least in this pre-Trump survey, they found out it did not, at least not directly. Yet while politics didn't have a direct link, the authors found that those who didn't feel very strongly about their national identity were more likely to leave this country. Come on, 33%. What are these people smoking? I haven't met any of those folks. Remember when all of the rich and famous goofballs were going to move out of the country if Trump was elected president? Not a one of them have left yet. What's the problem here? Let's get going. Let's stay in England. What is the deal with all of these drones shutting down airports? It's like a big game. You know, they ought to just say, hey, anyone caught using a drone to terrorize an airport, immediate execution. How's that? The net is closing around the Echo Warrior Lone Wolf. Is that what he's called? After a tense game of cat and mouse chasing an elite squad of police and army and Royal Air Force members. Assistant Chief Constable Steve Berry from the Sussex Police Department told reporters that detectives are narrowing their search for drone suspects. He also said measures to tackle the drone would include technical, sophisticated options to detect and mitigate drone incursions, all the way down to less sophisticated options, shotguns available to the police, should the opportunity present itself. Oh, this can't be that big a problem, is it? It is. And it could take down an aircraft? In 2018, this is just unbelievable that this can go on. Violence stupidity everywhere. My local grocery store, just a few blocks away, had a shooting night before last. Oh, my goodness. A couple of guys there around the meat department got into an argument, and the shooting started, and isn't that unbelievable? How about in Tulsa, Oklahoma? Little argument over photos at a Walgreens. Oh, this is bad PR. A Walgreens employee with a concealed carry license fatally shot an armed man after an argument that began in the photo counter. Tulsa police sergeant says the person who died Wednesday was a 52-year-old man. He says the man pulled a gun, jumped behind the photo counter to take photos from a clerk, and then climbed back over the counter. While the other employees tried to call police, a 28-year-old Walgreens employee shot and killed the man. Oh, boy. How about what happened at CNN? Oh, this is good for him. The winner there of CNN's Journalist of the Year Award admits he fabricated his stories. Good news. I tell you, I need some good news. Here it is. Grace is when God gives you good things you don't deserve. Mercy is when he spares you from bad things you do deserve. Blessings are when he's generous with both. Yep, God is good all the time. Now this. Well, as we move into the final weekend before Christmas, boy, time does fly, doesn't it? We here at Greg Padden Ministries and Hello World want to say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you and your family. Trust you're going to have a wonderful weekend and a special Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Such a blessing to have you listening to the program every day at this time. A big thank you, as always, to this Christian radio station for carrying the broadcast. And we continue to say, without you, we couldn't be here. So again, thank you so very, very much. Well, it's been one of those Fridays. It's Christmas week, getting into the weekend here. All kinds of sounds remind you, with bells ringing and the choirs singing and the Christmas music filling the air. As pastor, I can't wait to preach the Christmas message this Sunday, and then we have forever, it seems like, a candlelight service on Christmas Eve, and there's always something very special about that. Oh, I love Christmas. Do you love Christmas like that? And what about people who do not? Why wouldn't you just love this time of year? But in the midst of all of our joyous sounds of the jolly holly holiday, there are other sounds somewhere in the world, sounds of anguish and grief. Illustration, you could turn on the TV news this morning and hear all about it. I've shared things over the last half hour that it is trouble, heartache, anguish, uncertainty. That's the world in which you and I live today. Let's go back to 1998. Three children in anguish. They had just seen their stepfather stab their mother to death, and they had to stand by helplessly as he fled, backing his car over her lifeless body. There was anguish of 22 Pakistani sailors stranded helplessly on their ship 4 miles offshore. 5 months earlier, the foreign owners and officers of this old ocean-going freighter had declared bankruptcy, fled the jurisdiction of the U.S., and completely abandoned the crew. So here they were, 22 sailors all alone on an old leaking ship, out of food, out of fuel. They had received no pay for a year and a half since leaving their families and homes back in Pakistan. They had no papers that would even allow them to come ashore and seek help. Can you imagine the hopelessness there? Tears? Their prayers? That they have some? What are the stories where you live? For 2018, how much heartache with all the shootings? And well, there's a million stories out there today, and they're bad. Let's go back 2,000 years ago to that very first Christmas in Bethlehem and hear some sounds there. Sounds of a busy inn, animals feeding in a stable, angels singing on high, excited shepherds coming to see a baby in a manger. You think Mary's voice was a soft lullaby? But sometime later, those sounds were replaced by shouts of soldiers, cries of children, wailing of anguished mothers. To understand what I'm talking about, realize that several weeks or even a few months had passed since the birth of Jesus. Joseph and Mary and Jesus no longer in the stable. Now they're living in some small house in Bethlehem, and it was during this time that the Magi, the wise men as we call them, came to worship him. You know the story. You've heard it. Read Matthew 2:13. So think about this today. When we talk about the sounds of Christmas, maybe we need to remember also the shouts of the soldiers and the cries of kids and the wailing of mothers. For these were a part of Christmas sounds too. They cannot be ignored. They were just a big part of what God seeks to communicate to us this season of the year. There is suffering, and God came to bear it with us. If that's so, then what is God saying? Well, I know that there is suffering in this world, and I've come to bear it with you. The Bible is always very honest, so when it tells the story of Christmas, it not only tells about angels and shepherds and wise men that come with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, but it also tells about King Herod, about soldiers, and about the murder of little children. It would be virtually impossible for us to imagine what it was like to be a parent in Bethlehem at that time, to have a little boy, maybe 18 months old, who has captured your heart and the sparkle in his eyes brightens your day, then to have soldiers burst into your home, searching every room. They find your son, carry him outside, and take his life. Oh, the anguish. Yet that's all a part of the Christmas story, is it not? Anguish is still a part of the Christmas scene for folks today. There are many who are suffering, many who are lonely, many who are grieving, and for that reason they find little joy in all the Christmas celebrations. Yep. Christmas always comes to a suffering world, and it tells us that God does not guarantee to take away our suffering, only to bear it with us. And another message of Christmas, there is uncertainty in our world, but God can help us through it. He leads us through the uncertainty of life. I continue to say, God is in control. Think of the uncertainty in the lives of Mary and Joseph as they hurriedly packed their meager belongings to leave Bethlehem and head for Egypt. They had been told by an angel that Jesus was to be the Savior and that he would save his people from their sins, but what was their responsibility in this? How were they to raise the Son of God? What were they to do next, and what did the future hold for them? So much uncertainty. Your life is like that. Uncertain, sure it is. Teenagers wonder if they'll ever graduate from high school, and if they do, will they be accepted into college of their choice? And if they are, will they be able to pass the courses? Those who are older wonder if they still have a job next year, if they'll get their house paid for, if their children will ever amount to anything. And that pain that has been bothering them recently, is it something serious? Will it go away? You see, life is uncertain. Mary and Joseph had one great advantage. They knew that God was leading the way and that he would take care of them. Think about it. This Jesus, whose little body was jostled around on his journey to Egypt, would one day tell the multitudes how God cared for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. And if God feeds the birds of the air and clothes the lilies of the field, he will say, then you mustn't be concerned about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear, because God cares even more for you. And as Christians, we have the advantage of knowing that while we do not know what tomorrow holds, we do know him who holds all of our tomorrows in his hands, and he wants us to let him lead the way. There is uncertainty in life, my friend, but there is a God who will lead us through all of that uncertainty, and that is really a great message for Christmas. You and I just need to get out there and share it. Well, I'm going to avoid panic Saturday tomorrow. I'm not going shopping as usual. It's an easy way to do it, isn't it? That's it, my friend. Another edition of Hello World. Pray you have a great weekend. You're in church on Sunday, and well, just the best to you and yours. I'm Greg Patton. Thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great day.